Today we are talking about Invincible. James, you did this to us. You told us about the comic because you read it, a comic book that is over and was written by Robert Kirkman, the same man who wrote and adapted The Walking Dead. And Invincible is now a comic of the past, ended in 2018, becoming a live-action movie executive produced by Seth Rogen, who is in the animated series as Alan the Alien. And the animated series just finished its first season, and all three of us, Chad, myself, and you have watched it. So you're the one, I think, who probably came into this with the highest expectations because you read the entire comic book. What were your general vibes about the show?
I thought it was probably one of the best adaptations of a source material comic book maybe ever.
Wow.
And also probably one of the better animes of recent times. Because it is an anime. Look at the way the characters are drawn. Listen to their expressions as they fight. Right? It's an anime. And it's really great. And they don't adapt it one-to-one, right? It was something we talked about in a previous ep. Like, a lot of things are totally different. Mark's girlfriend, Amber, I want to say, she is completely show original. And they made it really clear that this is like an alternate timeline or whatever. And everything they changed was for the better. This whole big reveal, and I guess what we're talking about, the whole season one. So
yes, spoilers, everyone, spoilers.
The whole big reveal with his dad in the comics was very quick. And it's kind of like establishing, you know, their happy family backstory, like almost like started to come after that, right? Almost like, you know, Kirkman himself thought like, yeah, this was kind of rushed. I should establish the context a little more. But in this one, they played it really, and I don't want to say slowly, but they gave it a lot of time to breathe. And I think it made the big reveal at the end that much more effective. And I got to say, they also are like upping the ante because like there was a big, you know, Man of Steel fight between Mark and Nolan in the comics. And there was a lot of incidental casualties. But it was not as evil as show Nolan, who was just like, look, I kill people for fun, right? This is how meaningless they are to me.
Right. He was crushing pieces of cement with people under them with his foot while looking his son dead in the eye. And yeah, you said, you know, the comic books, the big reveal, the twist, the first major twist where Nolan as Omni-Man kills all of the Justice League or whatever you want to call them. I can't recall what they're named. That's, you know, in book 12, right?
Yeah.
And it's also in for the show, it's in the pilot. It's the end of the pilot.
Right.
So, and it's 144 books total. And as I said previously, already over. And Kirkman said, I think in an interview, that he admitted to like, if you watch the first season of The Walking Dead, he changed a bunch of shit because he was just bored with stuff that already happened in the comic. He was like, no, that story has been told. People can go read that story. I want it to be different because I'm just kind of bored with it. And the second time around, he was like, I learned from that. I didn't change as much. And the stuff I did change was purposeful with a lot of thought. It's augmenting, not changing completely. And the adaption, an important part of the adaption is that, like, there's some stuff in there, and a lot of stuff in there from the original. So, Chad, I believe you didn't read, right, the comic prior to this?
That's correct, yeah. I absolutely loved the show. I think that its pacing was really good. I liked that it was an hour long. Because, you know, every time when my body was telling me that the episode was going to end, there was, you know, 20 minutes more story.
Tell me no.
But my question to James is, as someone who's read the story, and please, I mean, you know how I feel about spoilers. Do you feel like the changes that they've made from the comics are trying to tell a different story? Because, like, there's new characters. You said, like, Omni-Man, like, he's much more evil in the show. Do you think that they're trying to either alter the perspective of the story or kind of change the theme of the story? Or is it just another way to tell the same thing?
Well, so far, if you lined up the show with the comic, like, we're basically at the end of arc one. A lot of the same characters have already been established, like Alan, and the Mauler twins, and Robot's backstory happened a little bit faster than it happened in the comics, actually. And I think at this point it could definitely still follow the arc of the show, and it seems to be going that way. But they've done nothing that would shut out changing the story a lot. And there are a few characters missing who could easily be introduced at a different time. The big changes is that, like, Mark's gay best friend who's voiced from the dude from Big Mouth. Can anybody remind me?
Andrew Rannells, who was the first Elder Smith in Book of Mormon. He's in Girls, right, and also in Big Mouth, yeah.
That character and Amber. Perhaps his best friend character was like an extremely minor character in the comics, not nearly as big as he's in the show. Those two are the biggest additions, and they perhaps will change how things go, because, like, I don't know, is this a, can I guess that's a, well, it's a comic spoiler that might not be happening in the show. At this point in the timeline, Mark was already with Eve.
Right.
And that is a huge part of the story. And if he doesn't end up with Eve, the story will be completely different.
Huh. Interesting.
So, Chad, you brought up last time we talked about Invincible, the one gripe you had was that the animation style was not consistent. I read in an interview that two different animation studios, took care of all the animation for Invincible. For any time there's just dialogue happening, it was a animation studio in Vancouver that was, you know, previously just doing apps. Like, this is the first foray for them into animation. And you can tell in, like, the dialogue scenes, it's just kind of taking mouths and making them different. And,
yeah, very anime-inspired, yeah.
Right, and then a literal anime studio in Japan does any time where it's like a fight sequence or any fast movement is happening on screen, they were just like, we'll let a cheaper version do the parts that aren't doing any heavy lifting, but we're going to hire the experts to do the fights. And I'm just going to bring this up now. The fights are insane.
Yeah.
Like, these are people who are invulnerable facing each other. And, like, the amount of times that main characters are just in the hospital almost dying in the first 8 episodes is just insane.
Yeah, the animation's really good. The violence, it never feels too gratuitous, and they really make you feel it. You know what I mean? It's not just like, oh, that was a hard hit. It's like it shatters you a little bit when you watch it.
When that giant cat guy hit Mark in the chest with his, like, big old mace, and by the way, like, in a fight that I thought was going to be inconsequential,
yeah,
like, it felt like that fight right there, I was like, oh no, just move on to the next thing, like, you're obviously setting up a confrontation between him and his dad, like, that's what we're going to,
right.
And then, like, he almost dies to giant cat man. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, Battle Beast is actually becomes an important character in the show. So if you like that cat monster, you're going to see some more of him. It's extremely violent, but I'd say they don't really linger on the violence too much, right? It's gratuitous, but it's not shove it in your face too much, right? It happens very quickly, then it's over. And that's why, you know, Invincible is a very ironic name, because Mark's always getting the shit torn out of him.
Right, right.
But something that, you know, either they will or won't explain, it's like, you know, Viltrum deep lore or whatever, is that, like, more or less, like, you Viltrumites don't succumb to their wounds, right? They don't bleed out. If you don't kill them, no matter what you do to them, they have, like, a healing factor, not like Wolverines where it's instantaneous, but, like, eventually they will recover fully, right? If you don't,
yeah, and they live for an incredible amount of time, as Nolan says to Mark when he's just like, all the people you love right now are going to be dead. It's insignificant. Your entire life around you is just a small blip of what it will eventually be. You have to look at the world on a scale that is, like, I understand is hard for you to do because you aren't there yet, but these people around you don't mean anything, as he, you know, crushes a skull.
Mark is the Viltrumite equivalent to, like, a 3-month-old, which is crazy to think about.
And it is actually, like, kind of screwed up that Mark has been, like, raised with a human mentality, because everyone he cares about is going to live, like, less than 1/10 the amount of time that he will.
Right.
And I think that they kind of underscored that a little bit more in the show, too. It's like, you're fighting for people who are basically all dead anyway in the timeline of how long we live. You might as well think of them already on death's door, right?
Right.
Some of my favorite parts of the show are the micro/macro aggressions of Nolan/Omni-Man, like the moments where he just can't hold it back anymore and is truly mean or angry to the people around him. And then fast forward that to as his wife, played by Sandra Oh, is listening to him calling her his pet. Well, you're like, oh, fuck, dude.
Yeah, that was rough.
That is just, and like, as physically violent as this show is, it's also, like, emotionally violent. Yeah. One of my favorite episodes was the one where they were on the college campus, and Mark's best friend, played by Andrew Reynolds, his, like, almost boyfriend, gets completely dismembered and turned into a robot, and the emotional arc that those characters that we've barely been with on screen go through, and also Mark's girlfriend or girlfriend to be being like, yeah, I don't care that you're a superhero, you're just neglecting me on a constant basis, and even though you're saving lives, I'm just not down with that. And for that to be a character, I didn't know this, that it was completely made up for the show, is even that much better.
Point of clarification, he was turned into a cyborg. He was not turned into a robot.
In the show, they're called Reanimen, because they're actually like cyborg dead bodies.
Was he a cyborg? Was he a cyborg, Chad? Okay.
But I do want to say, I really like Ezra Miller's performance as D.A. Sinclair, the mad scientist kid, who... I mean, if it follows the comics, his story is like more or less wrapped. He just ends up like working for the agency.
So I have a quick question. If Mark's girlfriend and Mark's friend are not characters in the show, how does that story play out in the comic? Because they were the reason why he went to the college campus and met him and why the cyborgs happened.
Yeah, I just don't. That story is not like framed in a college visitation backdrop.
No.
Also, I think the D.A. Sinclair arc is like a little bit longer in the comics as well.
Hmm.
Another part of this show that makes it very good is there is a feeling of inevitability a lot of the time. From the moment that Mark gets his powers and his father looks across the table at him and forgets to say congratulations because his obvious first thought is, fuck, now I have to kill him too. Like, he's just one more obstacle in my mission to destroy slowly but surely this world. And the stronger he gets, just the harder my job becomes. It feels like you're just standing on the edge of a volcano you know is going to explode, and one day it does. And then that fight at the end doesn't disappoint, in my opinion, when they're fighting Cthulhu and then also themselves simultaneously. And then a mortal comes back?
Yeah, I gotta ask about that guy. So his powers seem like they're the same as Omni-Man, but like not as good.
Budget Omni-Man.
He also can't die. He lives forever.
He's like the Captain Marvel to Superman, you know? How he's like got all the same powers but isn't Superman.
Well, did you also see his backstory that he was like a caveman who touched like an alien construct and then lived through all these important moments in history and was also Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah.
He was Abraham Lincoln?
Yes.
Oh my.
Wait, no way, really?
Yes.
I missed that. That's funny. So in the final fight, I mean, Nolan is so powerful, like incomprehensibly powerful. But when he fought the League of whoever they are, I mean, like, I don't know. It seemed like his power, like he leveled up between that fight and the final fight with Mark. Did anybody else feel that way? Like he was on a different tier of strength in the final fight.
Well, I mean, he was also like fighting Wonder Woman and the Flash and all the other members of the fake Justice League. So it was like 11-on-1.
I suppose. But you said in the comics that didn't happen that way.
that I think in the comics, like, we may not even see the fight scene. We just, like, see that they're dead and Nolan killed them.
Oh.
Also, I think it's tough because the power level of Mark during the final fight is a bit nebulous.
Yeah.
You get the feeling that he's supposed to one day be close to as powerful as Omni-Man, but perhaps he won't be. Although, my thought was he wouldn't be because he had, you know, 50% human DNA and 50% Viltrumite, but then Nolan was just like, nah, our stuff is strong. You're basically 99%. It just kind of takes over your entire body.
You just are.
if you are like half, you know, it's not like being half Saiyan. If you're half Viltrumite, like eventually
half Saiyans are stronger.
The Viltrumite DNA eventually just like replaces all of the human DNA. This takes over.
So yeah. one thing that I thought, because they hinted at this a little bit throughout the show, like when Mark was in trouble, he'd like switch into like super rage mode and he would be seemingly a lot more powerful. I kind of thought that was foreshadowing for this fight, where like he'll just get so pissed that he'll kind of Gohan his way into being really powerful. But that didn't happen. Is there something
there's not really power scaling like that. You're either strong enough to fight with a Viltrumite or you're not, more or less. You can think about it that way.
Okay.
And, like, the people who are like Battle Beast and Alan and Immortal. But between like the Viltrumites themselves, it's more or less, you know, it's like professional heavyweight boxers, right? Like the difference in their strength, probably not as important as like the difference in their technique or whatever, right?
Okay.
It's not like a trick.
So that wasn't
like, actually, and now I have the upper hand because my power level went up by 100.
I thought that they were foreshadowing that, like, because I mean, Mark is clearly not as powerful as Omni-Man. I thought that they were foreshadowing that there was like another well he could tap into, you know, to get like the rest of his power, and he just wasn't doing it like for a mental block or something. But that's not a plot point in the comic.
No, I think Viltrumites like get stronger as they get older. But then I also think there's also like a bit of like a eugenics kind of like breeding thing as well, where it's like, you know, if your parents were super strong, you'll be really strong too.
Right. And well, they kind of alluded to that too. Like they said they killed off all the weak ones so that only the strong ones could go on.
Nolan is considered to be like one of the strongest Viltrumites.
I was going to ask that too. If like he goes back to his home world and he's like the lame weak guy, so no, he's one of the stronger ones.
Yeah.
There's also an inevitability to the amount of death I feel like is going to happen. And James, obviously don't like give it away because you know how much his death is going to happen. And you basically know, I assume the adaption seems close enough where if someone dies in the comic book, they're most likely going to die in the show. But it feels like with Omni-Man and now Mark as he grows into his power, with their ability to kill on a dime, I was surprised Mark's mother made it out of the season. I was surprised that all of the teen team made it out of the season. I was like, it feels a lot of these characters, their deaths do feel inevitable. And and you feel scared for them anytime they're on screen.
Become irrelevant.
Interestingly, members of the teen team who are at this point dead in the comic are still alive in the show. And I think probably the reason for that is the same reason that they put off the whole Mark Nolan fight, is that they probably want to give us more time to give a shit about these characters before they just kill them.
Right. So they play fast and loose with the death of the main characters, just like in The Walking Dead.
Right. But less so in the show, I would say.
Interesting.
Like, even the, like, agency second-in-command guy, who I don't even know, I don't even recall if he's a character in the comics, but, you know, he stuck around long enough and had enough, like, good zingers that when he died, I was like, oh no, it's that guy.
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out if he had a mustache or not, or if his upper lip was just very concave.
All right.
So I do want to ask, question to Chad, are you considering reading the comic because of this?
See, I'm really on the fence. It's kind of like Game of Thrones. I watched the show before I read the books. I still haven't read the books. And I reached a point where I was invested enough in the show where I wanted more. And I had to decide if I enjoyed the story that was being fed to me through the TV screen enough that I wanted to live that out without it being tainted by knowledge. And that's where I am right now. Because who knows when the next season's going to drop. I don't want to read the comic and have that spoil the experience I'm already having. Does that make sense?
Right. Okay. I'm and then the Ryan version of that question is, Ryan, have you gone through the spoilers yet?
I have not yet. No. And it has been incredibly difficult. I want to very, very badly.
Oh, you're one of them.
Oh, dude, I'm bad. I'm a bad boy. I'm a bad boy. And also, you know, Evan Peters and Seth Rogen have been working on making this movie now for like nearly a decade. And they're working with Robert Kirkman. The way that Seth Rogen became Alan the Alien is because, you know, he was just like near Robert Kirkman a whole lot as they've been developing this movie for 10 years.
So, yeah, we haven't said that yet. They're adapting a live action movie for Invincible as well.
Right. And it seems like it's going to happen now because, you know, Amazon Prime has 200 million people. And whenever not that many people open up Amazon Video, but Invincible was on the top of Amazon Video, the banner, for a long period of time. So I don't know the official numbers here, but I would assume a large amount of people watched the first episode. And I don't know many other shows with the first episode with a cliffhanger at the end of it that would get more people to the second episode than Invincible, right? Like, you don't have a lot of shows with a zinger, M. Night Shyamalan, Ding Dong level cliffhanger / twist at the end of the first episode like Invincible did.
Yeah, that was, especially in the first episode, it was especially gruesome because if I recall, the first episode didn't have a whole lot of violence beyond like regular, like I'm watching a DC animated movie violence. But then it ended so brutally.
As violently as I could have gotten. Yeah, they had the fight against the Mueller twins at the beginning. And Omni-Man, Duex Machina saves the day. And then prior to the end, all that really happened was like the Omni-Man / Nolan microaggression against his wife. Where he was just like mean for a quick second. And you're like, oh, he's bad. He a bad guy. Right. I wonder how bad he's going to be. And then he turned out to be very bad.
From a certain point of view.
Not his own, obviously. It's very, you know, he is a good bad guy. He is on one side, like on the I'm only doing my job kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Two, hey, like, I was supposed to go even faster than this, but your mom, who was, by the way, like a dog to me, she kind of changed my mind. I really love that dog, and so I haven't been going as fast as I should be.
Yeah. Also, Nolan, you shouldn't be fucking your pets, if that's how you think about it.
That's fucked up. That's fucked up, Nolan.
That's funny. So James, are the Viltrumites' plan, is it kind of like the Invader Zim alien race strategy? Like, they send one person down to, like, weaken the planet, and then there's supposed to be an armada that follows?
Yeah, well, more or less, like, they send one person over to, like, break the will of the planet so that, like, when the Viltrumites get there, it's an extremely smooth transition.
So they're supposed... He wasn't supposed to, like, settle down and, like, become famous. He was supposed to...
Ew.
He was supposed to spend some time, like, figuring out what humanity was capable of and then deciding, like, the course of action to, like, disarm them, more or less.
Yeah, but also the point is, like, they've seen Omni-Man. They know he's the most powerful guy on the planet by far. And if a bunch of other ones also show up, they're going to be like, oh, okay. Oh, this is over.
Based on how this went down in the show, gotta say, Nolan, pretty stupid. I mean, call me manipulative or something, but I feel like if I were in Nolan's position, I could have spun this in a way where I could have got Mark on my side.
James.
Like, even if I'm not telling the entire truth, I'd be like, listen, Mark, you know, I look at all the war and conflict on this planet.
You're manipulative.
Our alliance of peaceful supermen are going to come and unite the world under a one-world government. And what you and I need to do is just make sure that, like, no bad actors are going to stand in opposition to that. So let's, like, go on the Tonight Show and we'll explain the situation to everyone. and let them know that, like, Earth's under new management, but things are going to get better. We have all this tech that's going to help them. He did James, not need to go the insane route.
Yeah, reach into your back pocket. Oh, it's a gold medal, and it is for the number one gaslighter on Earth. You've won. Congratulations. Right.
You know, if the Guardians are already dead at this point, you kind of just massage the truth on that, too. It's like, you know, I went to them first, and they said no, and they tried to kill me, and so I had to defend myself. They also threatened you and your mom, by the way, and so I had to kill them.
So the last couple of days, I've been thinking about this. So you know how Nolan was trying to convince Mark to you know, be a Viltrumite by pummeling him into the Earth?
Sure.
What if he was successful after, like, the third punch, but he just keeps on going? You know? He Mark changes his mind. He's like, you know what, Dad, you're right. I changed my mind. You've beaten sense into me. But he's just still being pummeled by the strongest man in the universe.
This is also, like, Viltrumite culture. This is how you settle, like, disputes. Even amongst your loved ones.
That's insane.
Like if you and your dad had a fight about something trivial, like how to redecorate the kitchen, it would probably like end this way as well. Like it comes up later in like a Viltrumite courting ritual, which is the very fucked up part of the comic. And
oh yeah, it sounds like it.
Well, so okay. Well, I feel like we said a lot about this. I just want to point something else out to Ryan. So, Ryan, you know his best friend, who's voiced by Andrew Rannells, right?
Yeah.
You know who played his love interest at the university?
Jonathan
Groff.
Yeah, the king himself, dude. I did not know that. The cast of this show, and I know we've already said this, but it is un-goddamn real. I mean, J.K. Simmons should win an Emmy for his portrayal of Nolan. He's so great. Steve Nguyen is so great. You know, oddly enough, I don't think a whole lot of Jillian What's-Her-Nuts from Community.
Jillian Jacobs.
Yeah, while she's doing Adam and Eve, but honestly, she just kind of melts into the role in a way where I don't think a whole lot about her.
She's a bit boring in the show, actually, and I'm not really interested in like her family drama either.
No.
It's like, okay, so you're a rich girl with incredible Dr. Manhattan superpowers. Yeah, that's... Like, sorry, your parents aren't cool.
I mean, I'm asking a question, but I don't really want an answer. Do they develop her anymore? Because it seems like she has, just by the nature of her power, like, the best power, you know?
That's addressed in the comic, yeah.
That is addressed. Because like, she's like the Scarlet Witch and Dr. Manhattan, if they fused into one character.
Right. She's also, like, you know, the name Invincible applies to a lot of things, right? Adam Eve is also, like, invincible, right, in that sense.
Right.
Yeah. I'm also very interested in like how everyone else got their powers. If you're not from Viltrum or whatever the hell, and you're not an alien,
it's not important, man. It's shorthand, either science experiment or bizarre happenstance
or otherwise.
Right, yeah. Right. It's like the Fantastic Four. It was, you know, cosmic rays. You know, it doesn't matter.
Right.
The point is they're a superhero family.
Like, how did Rex Blode get his powers? Are you interested in that, Ryan? Do you want an episode on that?
No, but I will say, Jason Mantzoukas doing his Jason Mantzoukas voice is both good and bad. I am, especially because his character is very unlikable for a lot of the time. It is sometimes grating, I'll say that. And then it's very obvious when Seth Rogen shows up. Honestly, it takes me out of the show. I'm like, oh, that's Seth Rogen. He's not even trying.
Doing anything with that. And it is also weird to hear Jason Mantzoukas play like human robot at the end of the show, which that's a plot point taken straight from the comics. But I'm hoping that like when little boy robot goes back inside the robot suit, that voice is still Zachary Quinto.
Yeah.
I have two questions. Question number one, first of all, so Superman, obviously Omni-Man is supposed to be a parallel of Superman. In the Superman comics, Krypton, people are not all powerful in Krypton because Superman gets his powers from the yellow sun, which immediately you have to wonder why they don't move to a planet with a yellow sun so that they can all be superheroes. But do you think that, like, they... What am I trying to say here?
I don't know. You had two questions. You can't get through the first one.
Okay, well, let's just pretend the first question was just a note.
Perfect.
And then the second question is lost.
Wow.
This is quality podcasting, guys.
0 for 2, baby.
Give me a second. It'll come back to me.
All these questions lost in time like tears in the rain.
Actually, no. I will say this while Chad ponders. It's insane that Invincible and Walking Dead were being written at the same time. He was writing 20-page right. scripts monthly for both of them. Mm-hmm. They are now going to be both wildly successful adaptions. The Walking Dead, you know, pulling an entire network up by its bootstraps, and Invincible being Amazon's foray into their own version of animation. And it's just one dude who's is in both writers' rooms.
And I gotta say, I never liked the Walking Dead comic. I watched the first 2 seasons of the show and kind of liked it, but I dropped it after the second season because I found that one to be very boring.
I got my question.
You are the minority. Chat.
Anybody like The Walking Dead?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The first
anyone here?
Yes.
Oh, I did. Oh,
huge. Like the first season of The Walking Dead, the pilot of The Walking Dead is one of my favorite episodes of any TV show ever.
Wow.
The first 3 to 4 seasons, especially the ones where Frank Darabont was the showrunner, were in my mind perfect television. And then it fell off the face of the earth. But, like, you know, you're, I think, in the minority there, James, because a large portion of the earth were tuning in to Walking Dead on Sundays.
Well, maybe if they made a cartoon show like this.
They were in, like, an abusive relationship with the show because they kept expecting it to be as good as the first 2 seasons, but nothing ever happens on that show after season 2.
Yes. And then after the production, on the production side, like, they fired Frank Darabont, who, like, actually cared about the project, and they kept asking for longer seasons with a smaller budget. And they're like, stop filming scenes outside. It's too expensive. Have more scenes inside.
Like, the people watched the show for the little dopamine bursts they got when something surprising happened, and then that was it. But I remember my question, so let me ask it before I forget it.
Mm-hmm.
So in the final episode, Alan meets Mark again, and he's like, oh, I had no idea that there was a Viltrumite here. Oh, that's fucked up. You're a Viltrumite. Yada, 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 yada. And then he talks about, like, this Federation of Planets, which is not what he calls it, but that's what I'm going to call it. And
that might actually be what it's called.
That might be what it's called. And he talks about, like, he says, like, first off, we don't deal with the Viltrumites when they claim a planet. It's their planet. But I kind of got the sense that, like, they were a comparable force to the Viltrumites. Like, there's conflict, and obviously they're strong enough to resist the Viltrumites. Otherwise, the Viltrumites would just take them over. Is that something?
That's also addressed, yeah, later on.
Okay.
I do love the small other stories. The Martian story we just come back to every once in a while. The Titan story becoming the kingpin with the help of Martha.
John Hamm reconciling with his stepson.
Right, just all these tiny little stories that I am very interested in, you know, the beast dude, who that guy will end up being, all of those stories I look forward to. And this is important. Hello, audience. I'm now speaking to you. Did you like Invincible? Are you watching Invincible? When season 2 comes out, do you want us to do a podcast about it? Tell us with your words and your feelings if you want that. If you don't say anything, we're not going to make it. We might anyway. We really like the show. But we'd really rather you say words about it.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm Ryan.
And I'm James.
We did that joke.
And I'm Chad.
Oh, yeah? Are you Chad? Are you Chad? Are you? Are you a robot?
No.
That was bookending. There's a callback. That was called.
I would be a cyborg.
Wouldn't you?